Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald, who joins us. A very good afternoon to you, Mary Lou McDonald.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Thank you for talking to us. So NPHET, we understand, has recommended this move now to level five. Do you support that?
Well, I think we are in a very dangerous and a very grave situation. The level of transmission of this virus has escalated at a really alarming rate over the last 2 weeks. And as has been reported, and not surprisingly, NPHET's advice hasn't changed. I think that advice has to be taken very seriously. I think all options have to be on the table. And above all else, Brian, I think two things need to happen. Firstly, the government needs to meet quickly. I don't believe that this critical matter can wait until next Monday or Tuesday. And secondly, and I have to say this, that in a time where we clearly will be moving through various levels of restrictions and where people's lives will be disrupted, their jobs will be lost, their income to their household will be decimated in many cases, we have to be absolutely sure that we have the correct supports for workers, for families and for communities in place. And I've said this to the Taoiseach on Tuesday evening, and I want to repeat it again. That means the cut to the PUP, the cuts to the wage subsidy scheme, the abolition of the protections for renters against eviction and rent hikes, and the breaks for mortgage holders where the banks have been allowed just to return to business. Okay. All of those things need to be addressed now as matters of urgency.
So my original question, does Sinn Féin support this recommendation from NPHET that we move to level five? Because you said 2 weeks ago that it would be at that point, you use the word catastrophic to characterise what you felt would be the consequences. Is that still your view?
It is still my view that the lack of the supports that I've described will prove to be catastrophic for households, workers and businesses across the state, yes. But that I also have said, and we have consistently said, that the public health advice needs to be heeded, because we cannot for a second underestimate the real danger that this virus poses.
Yeah. Heeded but followed.
Pardon me?
Heeded is one thing, but to follow it is another matter.
Brian, and followed. And that is why the government needs to meet quickly.
Okay.
The advice, which I am not privy to, I haven't seen the letter. I'm not around the table when NPHET are briefing government. But just as in the north, equally in the south, the public health advice has to be heeded. We need to do everything we can and act in a way that keeps ourselves and others safe.
Just to cut across you, just to be clear on this, you are saying that the time has now come to move to level five.
I am saying that the government need to meet as a matter of urgency to consider the advice that is being forwarded to them. I think they need to make a decision, and they need to make absolutely sure, Brian,
what decision do they
in
need
the way
to make?
That I have decided.
I'm trying to establish what your view is here, what your opinion is.
My opinion is that we are in a very dangerous situation and there have to be interventions. And my view is government governs. They receive the advice. They need to reflect on that in a way that is speedy. And then they need to give clarity to society at large, so that we can get to grips with this virus and in a manner that ensures that families and individuals are properly supported through times that are going to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, level five restrictions is obviously much more severe than even the more recent restrictions introduced in Northern Ireland. Sinn Féin has called for an all-Ireland approach to COVID. Would Sinn Féin at Stormont then be calling for matching restrictions in the six counties if we were to move to level five here?
Well, we have said from the word go that the correct approach is to have a universal and a uniform approach right across the island. I have made that call. We have made that call, north and south, from the very beginning of this public health emergency. And that remains our position today. Action has been taken in the north. The advice given to the executive by the public health authorities has been followed. There is advice now south of the border. I have to say to you, and this is one of the many unfortunate consequences of partition. On a small island, we have two sets of standards, two approaches, two sets of public health advice. That's most unhelpful. What we need is a single unified approach, much in the way that we had again, when there was jeopardy to animal health back
but again,
in,
just in the interest of clarity, if there's a move to level, if level five restrictions come in here, then there should be matching restrictions, you're saying, in Northern Ireland.
I'm saying that we need a single all-Ireland approach, and we have consistently said that, and we've consistently argued for that. Bear in mind, Brian, that the power-sharing executive in the North is composed of five parties.
No, it's not exclusively Sinn Féin's in position the gift. On this. So is it the case then, if you're looking for matching measures North and South, should schools here be closing for an extended half-term break as they are in Northern Ireland?
Well, look, as I said to you, when this is being considered, everything needs to be on the table, including the schools. And listen, I'm a parent. I understand as well as any other that we do, the last thing we want to see are schools closing. I can assure you it's the last thing I want to see. But I also think if that is a necessary move, then I think it would be wise to avail of the midterm break and that natural punctuation point in the child's and young people's education. Schedule to make a move such as that. But all of those things need to be considered in the round, Brian, by the people who do receive the public health advice, and they need to meet soon and make that call.
Just a word in relation to GAA county, inter-county matches. There's been some discussion, as you're aware, I think over the last couple of days in relation to those. Do you think that those fixtures should go ahead?
Only if they can go ahead safely, and only if the players and the squads concerned are happy and satisfied as to their own safety and their own well-being. And I see exactly the argument that the championship gives great relief, and particularly in these times, everyone would love to be watching the inter-county competition on television. But we have to weigh that against the safety of everybody concerned. So again, much of this depends, Brian, on the position that will be adopted by government with full knowledge of and in possession of all of the public health advice. And we need to move in a way that is thoughtful, but that is also speedy, to do everything that we need to do to keep people safe.
Okay.
And let me repeat, everything that they need to do to ensure that people are not left struggling in desperate, desperate financial dire straits in times that are anxious and difficult.
We'll leave it there. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald, thank you for talking to us here on the News at One. Well, as we've been reporting this lunchtime, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said it's time for businesses in the UK to get ready for a no-deal exit from the European Union in next January. Unless the EU makes a fundamental change of approach, we go for no deal, he said. Last night, there was a firm message from EU leaders in Brussels that the UK had to compromise on the key outstanding issues if there was to be an agreement. This was Mr. Johnson's response earlier today.
Given that they have refused to negotiate seriously for much of the last few months, and given that this summit appears explicitly to rule out a Canada-style deal, I've concluded that we should get ready for January the 1st with arrangements that are more like Australia's, based on simple principles of global free trade. And we can do it, because we always knew that there would be change on January the 1st, whatever type of relationship we had. But for whatever reason, it's clear from the summit that after 45 years of membership, they are not willing, unless there's some fundamental change of approach, to offer this country the same terms as Canada. And so with high hearts and with complete confidence, we will prepare to embrace the alternative, and we will prosper mightily as an independent, free-trading nation, controlling our own borders, our fisheries, and setting our own laws.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson speaking this morning. Let's talk to our correspondent, Tony Connolly. Boris Johnson's telling the UK get ready for a no-deal Brexit, but they're still talking. So how has all this been interpreted in Brussels?
Yes, Brian, they are still talking. I mean, we can go straight to a tweet in the past few minutes from Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the Commission, who said that Michel Barnier's team will still be going to London on Monday for negotiations as planned. So that's one thing. I mean, officials are relatively relaxed about what Boris Johnson said, even though he's obviously felt the need to let off steam, given that the signalling from the summit yesterday on Brexit, in other words, we're not there yet. The UK has to move on the key issues. Certain language that the UK was expecting in the final communique, which frankly wasn't there, this idea of intensifying negotiations, which is kind of code for getting into the pre-agreements tunnel. But actually, if you listen to what Boris Johnson says, that the EU has refused to give the UK a Canada-style agreement, that was never, ever the model for the future relationship, because the EU-Canada deal was based on tariffs. There were line-by-line negotiations to work out what tariffs would be on what goods, and that would take a long time to negotiate, and Boris Johnson refused to extend the transition period. So that was never on the cards as far as the EU was concerned. Mm. So I think people will be relatively relaxed in Brussels that this is simply steam being let off.
Yeah, when he talked about taking back control there, we heard Boris Johnson specifically mention fisheries. And I think we know that's been one of the sticking points at this late stage in the negotiations. But you're reporting some perhaps indication that there could be a move on that.
Yes, Boris Johnson mentioned fisheries. I suppose a reminder that if there is no deal, then there won't be any access for EU fleets to British waters. But what has emerged in the past few days, which I've been able to establish, is that the EU has not wanted to leave fisheries as the last issue on the table because they feel that they would get a worse deal. So what they've been doing is looking at other key areas where the UK has a real interest in getting an agreement. And one of those areas is energy. The UK still wants to have access to the European energy market through interconnectors. And that is seen as something that would be very valuable to the UK. So rather than close off mm-hmm. that chapter in the negotiations, the EU looks like it wants to keep that chapter open in order to exert some kind of leverage with the UK on fisheries. It's not an overt hostage taking to a final agreement, but they're saying, look, you know, if you think fisheries is valuable to you and your economy, well, it's also valuable to the EU's economy and fishing communities. But also, we are offering you a lucrative access to the EU's energy market. So maybe we can look at those two things together. It's not an explicit linkage, if you like, at the moment, but this is something that's been discussed privately.
Very good. It ain't over yet, I think, is the bottom line here. Your editor, Tony Connolly, thank you very much for that.